and welcome back to Pod on the Tyne Match Day. My name's Taylor Payne, and it's an absolute pleasure to be back in your ears. Newcastle United are away from home today at West Ham. Will today be the day that they finally win a Premier League away match? Jacob and George are down in that London, and Chris is at home watching it in his pants. Over to George outside a mutinous London stadium.
Thank you, Taylor. Hello, everyone. That's right. Sadly, not in a pub, but very much outside the Olympic Stadium, which has become a venue of vitriol for West Ham. That's pretty good, isn't it? Might use that later. This is a familiar scene for Newcastle, or certainly was a few years ago. A club in crisis, a team struggling for meaning, for victories, complete disconnection with supporters who are planning a protest after the match today against the ownership and the direction of the club, a team winless at home this season. And this really is Newcastle's opportunity to be the team, to be the club that takes advantage of that situation. Newcastle, as we know, have not won a match in the Premier League away from home. They've only scored one goal, but they're in a real good vein of form at the moment. It does feel like momentum is now behind the team, and this is just a huge, huge chance for them to cement that, to finally get 3 points on the board away from home, start moving up the table and setting themselves up for another big week. Can they do it? Can they take advantage of unrest and dissatisfaction? I think they can. You'll hear from me and Jacob the Boy Wonder a bit later on, and then Chris after the final whistle.
This is a start. We will be opening doors to general admission in approximately 15 minutes.
Once again, Eddie Howe rings the cha-cha changes for Newcastle. It's 6 changes from the team that got past Spurs in the Carabao Cup in midweek. We're getting used to this frequent rotation. On this occasion, as expected, Nick Pope comes back into goal. We've got Botman back. We've got Guimaraes back. Jolinton, Anthony Gordon and Jacob Murphy are also in. Kieran Trippier misses out at right back because of illness, so Emil Kraft is in there. Otherwise, it's a strong looking bench for Newcastle.
Jared Bowen takes responsibility and hits the frame of the Newcastle goal. And there come Newcastle. It's got the stadium going, which is one of the key battles. Oh, and fired home! Jacob Murphy, and no sooner had Jared Bowen hit the post at one end than Newcastle go up the other and take the lead. Bowen and Wilson wait in the middle. Pope punches only as far as Fernandes. Paqueta! What a fabulous strike that is from Lucas Paqueta!
Would Nick Pope have done better? I think he'll feel he should have done.
Wan-Bissaka neatly fed by Fernandes. Oh, and goal! Botman puts it through his own net. And in the last minute of added time, West Ham do get that slice of luck. And West Ham lead.
Well, well, well. The first half ends with West Ham fans asking a perfectly reasonable question, which is, how shit must you be? We're winning at home. And I'm afraid the answer to say is that Newcastle have been pretty shit. They took the lead through Jacob Murphy, taking advantage of some misfortune for West Ham, who'd struck the post through Jared Bowen shortly before that, 26 seconds before that. But Newcastle just have not been able to get a foot on the ball. They've given the ball away so much. They've let West Ham get back into it through Paqueta, his equaliser, and then an own goal from Sven Botman just before half-time. It's been a really ragged and, I would say, sloppy performance. Jacob, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'd agree. The word for me which keeps coming to mind is complacent, in a word. Like when they went one goal up, which in itself had an element of fortune, not in the finish, but for the fact that Bowen had hit the post so soon earlier. But once that happened, it almost felt like they had a mood against a stadium which is feeling despondent before the game, from West Ham fans being downbeat about the team. But with all that context, West Ham just roll over, and they haven't. And Newcastle just haven't been doing basics like picking up runners, really, to be honest, like marking well enough at various set pieces, pushing out in defence, and they've been punished for it. There are a few chances which Pope saved from well, and four fifth chances is due that West Ham took one. Newcastle can't complain when they're down at half time.
Yeah, totally agree with that. This felt like a massive opportunity for Newcastle before kickoff. Now it feels like a massive test for them. They're trailing in this game. It's a long way back. They've got a really good squad. That squad needs to be used now. Eddie Howe needs to shake things up. They've let a really good position slip. Over to them now.
Newcastle's second half highlights go here.
It is West Ham 3, Newcastle 1, and I have to say I'm pretty gobsmacked by that. Newcastle players and staff are, as usual, saluting the away end. It's a pretty empty away end, and you can't be too surprised about that. After that, that was a really, really dreadful performance. It's a dreadful result, but the way Newcastle played has to be a real cause of concern. Eddie Howe, unsurprisingly, made three changes at half-time. But the surprising thing here was just how little impact any of them had. There was no shot on target from Newcastle from the 39th minute onwards until the 90th, when Jelinton had a really soft header saved. And they just did not look like they were going to get back into that match at all. Jacob, that is a really, really disappointing day at the office for Newcastle.
Yeah, we spoke at half-time, and if anything, I'd say they regressed after that. A long period of sort of going through the motions, in the sense of playing the patterns they felt like they should play, but without the sort of intensity to actually meaningfully drive the team up the pitch. I think the difficulty for Howe is, yes, this is a team who played in midweek and changes were made in that, but when you sort of cycle your squad quite a lot and still get performance like that, and the substitutes fail to take their opportunities, it makes it quite difficult to work out exactly what to do next, because you want to change starting 11 after that, but who put their hand up to say they should get the minutes instead?
Yeah, Newcastle's away form in the Premier League is a massive, massive issue. They have still not won. If they can't win here against West Ham, a team who hadn't won at home for 8 months, when will they get that first win? They won't win anywhere if they play like this. That's the brutal truth of it. We will hear from Eddie Howe shortly, and then Chris will join me for a wrap-up a bit later.
Just the physicality, the energy was missing in our performance, and the difficult thing to sort of take from that is we obviously rotated the team a lot in midweek for freshness in the players, so that didn't seem to be there. So, yeah, hugely frustrating for us. That was a poor performance. Tried to be very open and honest with how we play, and yeah, we weren't ourselves today.
That didn't really look like an Eddie Howe team out there today. Are you angry about that?
Yeah, no, I agree with your assessment. I don't think it looked like, forget sort of my name, it didn't look like a Newcastle team that we've seen in recent seasons. I think the body language, the collective spirit on the pitch, loads of little things that contribute to our performance wasn't there. I don't think that was tactical. I don't think that was necessarily technical. It was a byproduct of us just not being where we needed to be mentally. And we did a lot of work with the players in between the last game to this, so it's a difficult one to work out right now, but we'll go away and try and learn from today, because I think it's hopefully a turning point we can use for our advantage.
You took off some big players at half time as well. You didn't sort of, it wasn't a reputational based thing, but you could have chosen any of them really, couldn't you?
Yeah, well, that was a frustrating thing about the first half. I almost could have taken anyone off, and I think that was a reflection of where we were in that moment in the game, and it's very, very rare for me to feel that way. In fact, I don't think I have since I've then manager of Newcastle. So I felt the team needed some shaking up at half time. That's why I did what I did.
That is as dejected as I've heard Eddie Howe after a match, I have to say. And not surprisingly, that was a terrible performance and very difficult to sort of pick the bones out of it. Thankfully, that's what I've got Chris Woff for. On the other end of the line, what did you make of that, Chris? I mean, just dreadful. Were there any redeeming features at all?
No, not a single one. No, I've been trying to search for positives, and I've exchanged messages with quite a few people, including those inside the club, who couldn't pick one out either. Usually, for away matches that I'm not at, I get that sort of... Even if the results are negative, I get a sort of pang of regret that I wasn't there. But first of all, this was at their stadium that isn't a football stadium, so I didn't want to be there in the first place. And then second of all, once this unfolded, I'm not gonna lie, although obviously I feel empathy for you, I'm actually pleased that you were there and I wasn't.
Fair enough. Yeah.
But no, that was... There's people talking about it being the worst performance under Howe, and I think it's hard to disagree. Certainly, I mean, you obviously have recency bias, but in terms of since the Newcastle have become a good team, there were probably some poor performances very early on when he just taken over, and I remember a few of them. And there have been a few sort of aberrations along the way. But just the fact that the quality of opposition they were playing against, the rut that they were in, their fans being... Well, basically, almost a mutiny against the club, and just generally the fact that they're taking the lead inside 4 minutes and then go on to lose in that style. I think it's difficult to argue against that. Really,
it's the context, isn't it? Yeah, exactly. Not just the context of West Ham being absolutely terrible and not winning a home match since February, and you know, obviously losing all their home games so far this season and being in crisis. Then there's the context of the match itself, where Newcastle are presented with a wonderful opportunity and just momentum was just never there. You could see it flowing back into West Ham, even when they were behind. I mean, that moment when Bowen hits the post and then Newcastle go up the field and score 26 seconds later, as I said, you see Bowen sag on the TV pictures and you feel the stadium sag, but like Newcastle allowed them a way back in. And, yeah, I mean, you know, I think we're always keen to sort of try and provide mitigation or context or explain background. Sometimes a performance comes along that you can't do that for, and this was one of them. I mean, it was just abject, really, from first minute to last. The people who came out on the pitch didn't have an influence. The people that started the game were terrible. There's no excuse for a match like that.
No, there isn't. I mean, we've already had a fair amount of response from people on both social media and into our email account, basically responding to that game. And Ian says, "All right, lads, how do you feel about Howe saying in his post-match interview that we showed some quote-unquote uncharacteristic errors? We've been making these same errors away from home for over a year now. Isn't that the very definition of characteristic?" Now, I get where Ian's coming from, and I think on the ball, Newcastle do too often concede possession, do too often give it away, particularly away from home, and that's an issue. But usually they have a period of a match. I mean, at Brighton, they were very poor in the first half. Second half, they improved, they got better. If anything, this as the game wore on, Newcastle actually got worse. I mean, it was hard to be worse than they actually were, and it's sort of like comparing much of a muchness. But I do think this was stark relative to other... I think that what Howe's getting at there is that, just as you said earlier, there was no redeeming feature in that performance.
No, none at all. And, you know, Nick Pope had made some good saves, but then was punching sort of everything. And then, you know, I think that invited West Ham pressure at a certain point. Players who were sort of making an impact fell away. You're looking for something to sort of grasp onto, and I just don't think there's anything from there. I mean, it's like Newcastle played like they were the team in the relegation zone. I mean, you have to sort of look at their recent run of results to kind of actually remind you that things aren't that bad. And I do think, you know, I think this is a problem. There were moments last season after the League Cup final when Newcastle had spells in games, or they had players who lost form, including that player that I can't name or it'll get bleeped out. But he was able to come up with goals that got Newcastle out of the hole. They had a get-out clause. At the moment, they just don't have a get-out clause. So if, you know, one or two players aren't playing well, there's nobody that they can rely upon to dig them out. And, you know, I think, don't want to criticise Nick Vultamada, but again, it's one touch in the opposition box. They don't have a player that can change things for them just by scoring a goal. And I've written for The Athletic that they're not giving themselves a chance to give themselves a chance. And that's sort of that's how it feels. They need Wissa back. Well, I say back. He hasn't been here in the first place, but they need him back amongst it in the squad, in the team. They, you know, Murphy provided their second goal away from home in the Premier League this season, but that, you know, clearly that is not enough.
I mean, you mentioned some of the big players. Anthony Gordon gave away the ball four times inside the first 15 minutes. He got hooked at half-time. Howe said afterwards, he said that he also had a bit of a hip problem, but he basically said the changes at half-time were largely tactical. And it was weird because, I mean, atmosphere, obviously you were within the ground, but on the TV, and I recognise it's also because the pitch is quite far away from the stands, but you could actually hear Newcastle players shouting at each other and calling to one another. It was that quiet within the ground, and given everything that's going on. And yet, that didn't seem to work to Newcastle's favour. They just looked... What was strange was they were low energy.
Yeah.
They looked lethargic. I thought that the intensity that obviously you expect from Newcastle wasn't there. Howe spoke afterwards about he'd made so many changes during the week to make sure that the players were fresh, but they didn't look fresh. They looked like they lacked direction. The more changes he made, the more disjointed I thought it became. It was almost like square pegs and round holes at certain points. We had Malik Chow at right back. Having started a right-sided centre-back, he then moved to left-sided centre-back. He had Sandro Tonali finishing the game as a right-back. Now, I know that's because they've got some injuries in certain positions, but he had also Jacob Murphy at right-back at one stage. It was just all chopping and changing without personnel here and there and just throwing people into certain positions. Harvey Barnes came on the right wing, then moved across to his preferred left wing. It felt chaotic. It felt like someone scratching around for answers, which he just didn't have, because he basically admitted afterwards he just didn't know where that performance came from, did he?
No, kind of came from out of the blue, except Newcastle's bad form away from home isn't a surprise. It is entrenched. I mean, this was a different level to badness. But, you know, but Newcastle's away form is a real issue now. It's well, you did the stats, didn't you? So why don't you reveal them?
Yeah, so in 2025, it's played 14, won 4, drawn 4, lost 6, 13 goals scored, 19 against. So it's 16 points from a possible 42. So far this season, they've got 3 points from away from home from possible 15. It's a real concern. Lack of goals. They've got 2 goals so far this season away from home. And so it stretches back to the last away win was at Leicester in April. So it's 8 games without a win on the road in the Premier League. And they obviously didn't look like that in the Champions League away at Union Saint-Gilles was, but that's a sort of different level. But you mentioned the lack of chances. At one stage, in a 10-minute period in the second half, Newcastle had 81% possession. And they basically didn't create... I mean, they didn't have a shot on target in that time. Between the 38th minute, I think it was. Is it the
39th? 39th to the 90th, to the 90th, yeah, when Gillingson had a really tame header that went straight to the keeper. So, you know, that kind of... That says it all, really. Not good, not good. But there is still a big game to look forward to this week. Certainly, it feels like either in one-off games or in home matches, or, you know, in different competitions like the Champions League, Newcastle sort of have enough to power through opponents and almost power through their own frailties, I think. I mean, I think it is something like that, that with momentum behind them, the crowd behind them, that sort of force of nature, they can kind of get away with it. But in the kind of nitty-gritty of the Premier League, you know, either players aren't rousing themselves, they're not getting up for it, you know, have to single out people like Anthony Gordon, who was so poor today, you know, but they can kind of get away with it, and they're just not particularly away from home, and it is a concern. Anyway, there was a lot.
Oh, no, but just on that, I think I think that's an issue with motivation levels, and I think that's something that needs to be addressed, because it is becoming a recurring theme now. I have no doubt Newcastle will perform on Wednesday night in a Champions League game at home under the lights. But psychologically, they need to get over this hurdle of going away from home. They need to perform. And you singled out Anthony Gordon, and I understand why, and I thought he was poor, but he wasn't just him today. None of the big players turned up today. I mean, Gordon, obviously, we know the contrast between his Champions League form and his Premier League form, but this still needs to happen. They haven't had back-to-back wins in the Premier League yet this season, and they're not going to... They're 13th in the Premier League, and they're close. I think they're the same number of points away from West Ham as they are from the top five. Which is just, we're 10 games in now. This is more than a quarter of the season gone. This is not just a sort of short time span. So that does need, that very much does need addressing.
I thought they'd got beyond that, I have to say, with the kind of wins, the consecutive wins with this run, five wins out of six, albeit the exception there was Brighton, which was really poor. I thought that they sort of had found a way
but not
of,
away from home, you know, in the Premier League, that's the difference.
No, and I think that is the thing. That's the thing that's missing. And of course it puts them under massive pressure, and they're putting themselves under this massive pressure. So, yeah, big issues. And once again, I mean, probably for the first time this season, but hearing Hal talk afterwards about, you know, going away and a period of reflection and stuff to learn from, you know, we had these resets pretty frequently in the first half of last season, haven't had to do it this time. And, you know, he said also that, you know, hopefully it'll be prove an idea and a turning point. It already feels like it's a season of multiple turning points, and previously they've kind of led into blind alleys. See what I did there?
I've seen what you've done there.
Thank you. It was better news for the women's team today, though, wasn't it, Chris?
Yes. Now, from a team who have been in a bit of an idea, hadn't won since the opening day, the lasses went to Ipswich Town, and they're obviously, as we know, under interim control at the moment. They don't have a permanent head coach right now, but they won 4-1 at bottom of the table, Ipswich Town. Shania Hale's got two. Molly Pike and Emily Murphy wrapped up the scoring. It's a huge win that lifts them up the table. So now, if you look at the league table, they are up to sixth, 4 points behind second place Birmingham City. And given it's only their second league win of the season, I think motivation-wise that's absolutely massive, and gives, if a new manager is appointed, we don't know if anyone's necessarily coming in imminently, but if they are, it's back-to-back derbies up next, first at Durham away next Sunday, and then the big one, Sunderland at home at St James's Park on November the 16th. So two very, very big matches coming up, and hopefully some positive momentum generated there on the Lasses side anyway.
Yes, let's hope so. It's going to be a miserable journey back for me, but you had to do it last time after Brighton, so I suppose it's only fair that it's my turn now. You will, of course, hear from us plenty more in the coming week. Thanks to all for listening. Thanks to those of you who subscribe to our Extra Time service. Just thanks for, thanks for what? Thanks for nothing, Newcastle United.
Yeah, and sorry to all your listeners for having to listen to this, us talk about that.
Well, there you go. That's it. Thank you very much for listening to this Pod on the Tyne Match Day episode. Much more coming up this week. We'll be back in your ears with our regular free weekly show and also some extra Tyne content as well for all subscribers out there. If you're not a subscriber, go to podonthetyne.supportingcast.fm and sign up now. £5 a month for extra episodes, or £3 a month to listen to the regular show completely ad-free. Thank you very much for listening. From everybody at Pod on the Tyne, we hope you enjoy the rest of your week. Take care. Goodbye. Ha 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 ha!